So good to be back here, this little church in Dixon, Lord. Look around and see the friends and brothers and sisters, Lord. And Father, knowing that we're all pressing on this sacred way, this amazing walk you've called us to, Lord. Lord, to see as we making progress, getting closer, Lord. And it gives us great joy, Lord, in the midst of the trials and the tests and the battles. It gives us great courage and joy and just the confidence to keep pressing on. So tonight, Lord, we're here, Lord, to gain strength, Lord, to hear the word and let the word bring more faith, Lord. Faith cometh by hearing the word, so we're taking you at your word, Lord. We're asking you that you would come and make yourself reality more than ever before, Lord. Our hearts long to know you, to recognize you, to see you, to walk with you and to love you, to let you be the very center of our being, Lord Jesus. That's why we're here. So I ask you to open the word tonight, Lord. Make yourself known to us, Lord. Meet the needs of each person, Lord. I ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. It's good to be back amongst you folks. Missed you on Sunday. I really like the lights. Whoever took care of that, you did a great job. It's just a whole different atmosphere in here. Good job. Amen. Let's turn to Colossians and let's read a little bit there. It really makes a difference. You got to come up here and look at them and see you. Now you can't hide in the shadows. Colossians, the first chapter. Let's start at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You may be seated. Oh my goodness, who is this person that he's talking about? What an amazing To show the attributes of this one that he's talking about, this great one, who we know as Jesus Christ. Amen. What a mighty person this is. What a mighty God. This is more than a human. This is a God-man. Tonight we want to pick up again where we've been talking about the threefold purpose of God. And we want to take a next step forward. And we actually want to look at what Brother Branham said this threefold purpose was, this great mystery. And now he gave us these three different cores, the three folds of it, and then he preached about each one extensively in Christ is a Mystery. I think it's a 3.5 to 4 hour service. It was something, it's very long. And, I mean, it's just so full of so much that he said in there. And, of course, we're not going to cover all that tonight. But we do want to start a little bit and see what he said, this threefold mystery, the purpose of God was. And this is what he said. He says it many different ways through the service. He said, first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. All right. Second, to have preeminence in his body of believers. And third, to restore the kingdom to his rightful position. That's it. First, to have preeminence. I mean, first of all, to reveal himself to the people through Christ. And then through that, to get a body of believers for himself, and finally to take that body of believers back to all, to restore them to what had been lost. Very simple, right? And right there you have it. Now, there is so much more to it than just right there. There's so much depth to it, and there's no way that we could ever get to it all. We could preach on for years and never get to all the depths of what that is right there. But that's just the groundwork, the basic framework from where we're going to go from here, okay? Just let me read this. First to express himself completely, God in Christ. We want to look at that. Before we do, remember what we spoke when we started on this whole subject. Is Brother Branham showed how the six seals had a threefold purpose. Satan had a threefold purpose. All the way down through the four horse riders are a threefold purpose. All these different things are the threefold purpose. But remember, the three folds were not the purpose. Remember? The three folds bound together to make up the purpose. But that strength of being bound together, then is when you can fulfill the purpose that you bind this threefold cord together. Okay? So when we have these three folds here, just keep this in mind. We're going to get to this after a while. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we're going to get to this. We're going to find out that those three folds were not the ultimate purpose. They just what God had to get this threefold together to fulfill that purpose. All right, so all these things we're seeing, we're going to come up to a culmination and find out what the great mystery was behind all this. All right, and I'll tell you right now, just like this, it's all right there in the Bible. It's right there in the message. And when you see it, you're going to think, well, my, that's the most simple thing I ever thought of. And yet, so many people look right at that and totally don't see it. They totally look straight at it. We're going to look at this Christ, God revealing himself, expressing himself in Christ tonight. And we're going to find out that, brother and sister, you can look right at it. Brother Branham said a theologian could sit there and study right in that Bible for his whole life. And God sits there in there just hidden away. And you study and study and study, and you might go to church and pray, but until God reveals it to you, you will not see it. And it's only for the elect. Ain't that good? It's only for the elect. So if you ever wonder, I wonder if I really am elect, let me ask you this. Do you recognize Christ today? Because only the elect can even do that. Everyone says they do. But when you look at what they worship, oh my. What are they actually worshiping? Is it a God of yesterday? Is it a historical God? Is it a God of the future? Is it a God of their imagination? Is it some kind of religion that they form because they don't know Christ? Or is it the living word manifest today? There's your question. There's your answer. That's what you take to Satan when he comes and says, oh, you're a Judas. You're not one of them. You don't really see it. Who are you worshiping? There you go. All right, let me read some here out of this message. Notice God had a threefold purpose in his great mystery secret. had a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. So right away we see he's a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. So we need to find out these three folds of it and see what the depths of it is, and then he's going to take us on and unveil the whole thing. God in it. You say, well, how do you know he's going to do that? Because we're the people he's doing it for, brother and sister. I'm just speaking what the word says. It's for us to know these things. That's why we're here. That's why he sent it, so the message believers would recognize him, would know him. Oh, I just got to go back to that quote again. He said, Brother Branham, they said, Brother Branham, he said, what is the new birth then? He said, the new birth is a revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. That's simple. And people say, well, I know Jesus Christ. He was born as a virgin. He died on the cross. Then I must have it. That's not what he's talking about. That's a historical, what he did in history. What's he doing today? God and his great mystery secret that he had before the world began. Remember this. All the way from the very beginning, when he first thought, you know, I am going to have a family. From very beginning, he had this mystery in his mind, this great secret. This ain't something new, brothers. It's been all the way back. And when did God first start having thoughts about you? They're eternal thoughts. He always had them. Oh, wrap your human mind around that. God always had thoughts about you. He never began. He never ends. There was never a time when he didn't have thoughts about you. How can that be? I have no idea. My mind does not go there. But that's true. He's got a threefold purpose in it. And now what we want to go upon this morning is, what is that threefold purpose? I believe by the help of God who's present, he'll show it to us. Now, if we had this threefold purpose, we find out that in this threefold purpose, the first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. There it is. He wanted to have a family, he wanted people, and he said, but now I need to reveal myself to the people. Why? Because he wants them to know him. He wants that to be a relationship. Because what good is it if I'm up here like so many people think, God, he just sits there in heaven, he watches all the thing on earth, but doesn't intervene very much. He just kind of watches and see what people are going to do. What kind of a father is that? What's the point? It's like, well, I got a Lego set. I'm going to put these Legos together and I'm going to sit there and watch them. No. He wanted a relationship. So he wants to reveal himself to the people. Now listen. He couldn't do that as a great Jehovah God who covered all space, time, and eternity. He could not. He's too great to ever be revealed to people because it would be too mysterious. Just like I said, how can he have eternal thoughts about you? He never began. He always had them, but this comes to a time when it's time to manifest them. How does your mind wrap around that kind of eternity? It can't. I don't care if what you tell me. Well, I understand that. I'm just gonna say, okay, brother, but I'm not gonna believe you because I don't believe human minds can fathom eternity. I mean, we get a general idea, you know, it's just something that keeps going. But where, you know, our mind has to have a place it starts. It never started. I can't get it. And that's why he said, you're not going to understand me if I just come this great eternal being. You're not going to understand me. So I need to reveal myself to you in a way that you can understand. Brother, oh, this makes me happy. Why? Down through time, he showed himself down through the prophets, down through believers, down through the word, down, all the way. What was it? Every one of those showing a little bit more of God. Why? So we can look back and say, okay, that was God there. That's his attribute there. That's his attribute there. That's his attribute here. Why? So that we can know, oh, God in history. What good is that going to do, brother and sister? It's so that when he manifests himself now today, we say, that's still God. That's that same eternal one. That's what it's all about, brother and sister. That's why so many people, they look at the Bible, they read it, they read the stories, they see that Jesus came, they read the story, they hear what he said, and yet today they still don't know him because they don't recognize it was Christ all the way down through the times. You know why? They have a Trinity. That was God back down through the Old Testament, but then Jesus came, and that was different God. That's what message believers believe, brother and sister. It's amazing. They're Trinitarians and don't even know that. They separated them up into three gods, and now they got four because one of them gods is named Branham. It's true. Why would you need Branham for God if you had Jesus Christ? Obviously, you don't have both. You're not going to know Jesus Christ and worship some other idol. I don't care how holy he was. My. He's too great to ever be revealed because it would be too mysterious. How could that great being that never did begin, that after you went beyond the cycle of a hundred, of billions and trillions of years of light space, on out into the infinity, into the eternity, and a great creature that was all that and still is. How do you recognize, how do you understand something like that? It's impossible. And when you think of that, and then he condescends to deal with us. I was talking to a friend at work today. He said they just discovered a spider that was 305 million years old. That's like, I can't remember how many, like 80 years older than the oldest dinosaur they've ever found. 80 million years older than the oldest dinosaur they found a spider that was about 305 million years ago. We did some math. And you know what? If you took that 305, if the math is right, I don't remember exactly. If you took that 305 million years times 15, you'd get to the beginning of time, of the known world. 14 billion years, something like that. If my math is wrong, don't worry about it. It's not the point. The point is, even then, it was still very, very recently compared to the beginning of Earth at 14 billion years. What has happened on this Earth during 14 billion years? And now, how old are you? How long are you going to be here? 60, 70, 80 years? Brother Jim's going to be here 95. And then going to rapture. Brother and sister, our time here is so infinitesimally small. It's ridiculous. And it is, don't get me wrong, your life is incredibly important. God, Jesus Christ died for it. All right? But in the big scope of things, how this tiny little people, so humble. The greatest man that ever walked is still so humble and nothing compared to God. And yet this was his whole purpose. His whole purpose to create the universe, to create Earth, to do all this that we see is because he wanted a family. He didn't want to be by himself. And he said, but my family is going to be special because they're going to love me with their whole heart. And there's going to be billions and billions of people that pass through that earth. But there's going to be a certain small group that are my children. My. You can just go on and think of these things and how amazingly, how great and mighty and powerful and long, eternal life. How can you ever put a thought to eternal life? How do you understand that? He said, well, let me start by creating man in my own image. And so we start there and we say, okay, well, what's God like? Well, he's a spirit. And we created man and a spirit man. And now in that spirit man, now there is two spirits, a feminine and masculine spirit. And he said, now we want them to be lord over this earth, this wonderful garden, this wonderful place I created. So I'm going to make them out of the dust of the earth. So they are the very thing that they're lord over. That's what their substance is. But now Adam looks like me. He's all by himself. And that's not good. So he goes in there and he puts him to sleep. He does surgery. He pulls out Eve. Now he has a man and woman. He says, look at that. I have a family. I'm a father. And we started getting an idea. Oh, a father has offspring. And so God wanted offspring. And so he creates mankind in his own image. And then he actually puts them in the image of the very earth, the substance of the very earth that he created. Now that substance that man formed out of the ground
at the time, that wasn't the, this, don't stumble on this, that wasn't the image of God. The spirit man was the image of God. But later on, he would come and manifest himself in flesh. Amen. But now what we do, we go back there and we see. So I'm just kind of caught. We'll go on. We go back there and we see down through town. Then we saw what happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve fell. Adam not deceived, she took Eve to herself, to himself. Why? Manifesting. It was demonstrating selfless love. A type of Christ right there that I'm willing to give my life for this bride that I love so much. I love her more than my own self. I'm willing to die for her. What was it? A couple of 4,000 years later, there is the second Adam dying on the cross, looking at this bride who had played the whore with him and saying, I'm willing to die for her. It was Christ all the way down, all the way down. I think I mentioned this before. I talked to a woman at work, and I said this about, you know, that being a type of Christ. She said, well, the Bible don't say that. I don't believe that. You know, it's just like, and in the moment, I just wasn't expecting it. I just blew my mind. I thought, well, I thought everyone saw that. But they don't. They don't see Christ all the way down through the Bible. But what he wanted to do, he loved fatherhood, for he was a father. And the only way he could express it was become a son of man. That's the reason Jesus kept saying the son of man. See, they didn't know what he was talking about, many of them. But now you get it? He wanted to express himself. That was one of his great threefold purposes, was to express himself, identify himself as human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. So what did he want to do? He wanted to express himself, and some of the expression was these attributes he had. I want to get ahead of myself. Let me just read a little bit more. Secondly, he had a preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. So God wanted to live in people. That's his second purpose. He could do that in Adam and Eve. All right? So he said, well, why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve that way? He said, but sin separated them, so now there had to be some way to get it back again. Oh my, this is rich to me. Just think of it. See what God's purpose was? Why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that without sin? Then he would have never been able to express his fullness, his full attribute. He would have been a father there, that's true, but he's also a savior. So in this great plan of God, he had to make it work out that he could express all his attributes. Not just a creator, not just father, but he's also a savior. He's also a healer. He's also a husband. He's the Lord. He's all these things. He's grace. He's mercy. He's love. He's all the good things you can imagine. And he had to express them. And he had this great drama to be played out. And he wanted to show people who he was. So that when you need love, you can look in the Word and you say, I see he is a God of love. When you need mercy, you can say, I see he's a God of mercy. He need grace, he is a God of grace. You need comfort, what do you need of? He's there, he's expressing. He said, this is who I am. What are you afraid of? Oh my. Expressing himself all the way down through. Why? For our benefit. It was for our benefit. There are examples for us. He couldn't display all that. He had to have someone lost so he could save him. He said, well, then why? You said, why did he have to do that? Because this is who he was. He wanted to express his fullness to us. And all the way down through, because he wanted us to love him for who he was. My, think about that. He wanted us to love him for his attributes, for his characteristics. Not just because, well, he's God, you better love him. That's not the kind of father he is. You better respect him, he's God. That's not the way he wants you to respect. That's not the way he wants you to feel towards him. That's not, well, I better do right because God's really going to nail me if I don't. That's not the kind of father he is. He's not legalistic. He says, I put you through these trials. I let you go through these testing and trials and hardships. Why? So get to know me. Because it's when you're going through the hard times is when we get to know him, brother and sister. That's when we die to ourselves and get rid of our own junk so that he can come and express himself to us. Isn't that right? That's all he's ever wanted. His attributes. He could have been a father, but he's also a savior. You say, how do you know he was? He is, because I've had the experience. Ah, think of it. How do you know he's a savior? Because you read about it? Because you've seen it in someone else? That's okay, but you can't stop there. You need to know he's a savior because he saved you. You need to know he's a healer because he's healed you. You know he's a deliverer because he's delivered you. This is Jesus Christ. This is the God we serve. This is the one we know. This is who we worship. Currently, now, happening. He's a savior. He had to express that. How could he do it? Only through Christ. How could he be a son? Only through Christ. How could he be a healer? Only through Christ. See, all those things will wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. And so all the way down through time, he's letting it a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, giving more and more and more. So why? So that when he finally came in the fullness, oh my goodness, I can't always stand still. When he finally came in the fullness of Jesus Christ, they can look at him and say, oh, we recognize you because we've seen it all the way down through. That's why he did it. Because if he had just walked out one day at Jesus Christ, they'd be like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? But they saw him through the prophets. They saw him all the way down through believers. They see him down through Moses and Elijah and Ruth and all the others. They saw parts and types and types and types so that when he's here, we could recognize this is him. Did it work? Only for believers. It's only for believers because what happens when he got here? They rejected him. He said, look, he said, read the scriptures. You think there you have your eternal life and they tell about me. Look, it's more than just the prophecies. The prophecies should have been enough. Isaiah said he's coming. All the rest of the prophets said he's coming. David said he's coming. Job said he's coming. And they should have had enough. But beyond that, he actually manifested himself through the prophets so they would have no excuse. They saw how he acted in flesh. They saw the power of God. They saw his characteristics. And they had the prophecies. And yet, when they stood there and looked right at the fulfillment, they could not accept it. Their eyes were blinded. Why? Because they chose to be blinded. And you look back and they say, how could they do that? How could you do that? Stop. What do you mean, how could they do that? They have more excuse than we do. We've had 2,000 years since then to recognize Christ. And we had a prophet who came and manifest Christ. And he brought the word. And he brought the prophecy. And he brought the message. And we have everything laying right there so we would know Christ without any excuse. And yet, by the droves, message believers are missing it. Why? They don't want that kind of a God. That's just all it is. Their own nature doesn't like that God, and they will love their own nature more than they love God. And the same battle that Eve went through, that all the way down, Israel went through, all the way down through time, and all the way through the church ages, Satan could always get every group of people simply because he could appeal to their flesh, and they would turn and follow that because they love this old world more than they love God. It's always been every bride, every church, Israel all the way down has always failed until now. This word will produce that second part of this mystery, a bride where God has preeminence in her. You have been inherited. You have a different inheritance. You've been ordained. You've been predestinated for something different. You might as well just get used to it. Yes, you have. And it's the most simple thing in the world. You're going to sit there, how can this great mystery be so simple? That's the way God works. And you're willing to accept it, and so many people aren't because it's just too simple. He demonstrated, he manifests, he showed his attributes all the way down through prophet after prophet, bringing the word, proving that it was true, proving he kept his word, proving he was a just God, proving he was faithful, proving everything he said was true. And here we are in 2016, 50 some years since this was preached. When it was preached, back in 63? Was that 53 years ago? It's right there for every message believer. And yet they're missing. Let me just. There's a very prompt. I'm gonna try to be a little bit less controversial. I'm not gonna call out names. There is a very prominent message church. And over Easter, they had too many people to attend their church. They couldn't get everyone in the church. So what did they do? They gave them a schedule. Now, this is not new. This group of people have had a schedule for quite a long time. They're told when to pray, when to have quiet time, when to listen to what message, and all this kind of stuff. It's very organized and very formal. And on Christmas, on their website, you could go and say, get up at 5 o'clock. That's when Brother Branham would get up. 6 o'clock. This is a.m., right? 6 a.m., here's your quiet time. This is when you have your own time to pray. 7:30 or whenever the time was, I don't know. You listen to this tape. Everyone around the world listen to this tape at this time. Oh, we're all in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because we're all listening to the same tape at the same time. 12 o'clock, you have more quiet time and read these two chapters of the Bible. 3 o'clock, you have more prayer and pray about this. And at 7:30 or whenever the next time was, you listen to this tape. Thousands of people following this form of religion. And I use that form intentionally. That word. It's formal. If you went to some churches, or you go to a Catholic church, and we message believers look there, and they look down our long holy noses at them because they kneel, they pray, they chant something, they respond to the minister, and it's all very formal. You know exactly what you're going to say, you're going to do. It's everything is just formal. And we say, what a formal church. What's the difference between that and I have to follow this form because this is what we do, because this is what the leader says, and it's on the website. And they feel so religious. Let me ask you one question. Where is Christ? You know what we've done? We've taken the church order. And church order was put in place to give the Holy Spirit freedom in the church. And we've used it to bind him down. And this is a step beyond that. You can't even find this stuff in the message. You can't find that in church order. You can't find any of that in what Brother Branham preached. Let me tell you something. There is nothing wrong with everyone praying at the same time. There is no sin in everyone listening to the same tape. There is no sin in having quiet time. The only problem becomes sin if that becomes your Christ. If that's your religion, if that's where you're laying, this is why I'm going to heaven, because I'm following this form of worship. You are formal. You are dead. And yet they have signs and wonders in their midst. They raise the dead, they heal the sick. Yes, they do. How are you going to tell them that they're cold and formal and powerless? Powerless? We raise the dead. You can't produce Christ. That's the problem. Christ is not the living word in your midst when you have a formal religion. Church order is to set the Holy Spirit free, that he feels welcome. Amen. Right. You want to get up and dance and shout or do whatever, you want to sit there quietly, you do as you're led by the Holy Spirit. That's what church order is for, to keep all the chaos and stuff out so Holy Spirit has an atmosphere where he feels welcome. And then when he moves on you, you move with him. There's no excuse, brother and sister. The message is right there. They can read the same thing that we're reading tonight. They can listen to the same tapes. But it's got to the point. You know what happened? Years ago, they got off the word when they said, don't listen to ministers anymore, just listen to tapes. And that's where they got off, and now it's demonstrating, that it's manifesting what they've done, what they've become. Anytime you see someone way off the word, go way back and find out where they went off. And Christ, all he's ever wanted to do is just manifest, express himself through Christ, through the body, so that we could know him, we could understand him, we could see him, we could recognize him. The old nature doesn't like it. He said, when I think of it, let me go back. See, all things are wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. When I think of it, I just see denominations pass off the scene. Everything else just going. Why? Because every denomination, brothers and sisters, adds their own idea. They add their own part, their own idol into who Christ is. They add their own part to it, their own thought, their own idea. And a lot of it, they're really good ideas. But if it's just your idea, it's still committing adultery, brother and sister. It's spiritual fornication. It's not Christ. So the first thing he wanted to do from the very beginning, he said, I need to get these people to recognize who I am. They need to know me. They need to recognize my attributes, my characteristics, so that when I manifest through human beings, they will recognize who it is. That's what it was all about. And I want to come and I want to see, I want to show them the fullness of my characteristics in a human being. And so all the way down, he finally got to Jesus Christ, came on earth. And he came, he indwelt him at the River Jordan, and he went around manifesting the very character, the fullness of God himself in human beings, so that we would recognize when we see that spirit, when we see those actions, when you see those characteristics, we would recognize that's God. That's deity in flesh. And that's why when Brother Branham came, we looked at him and said, that's deity in flesh, because he had the same characteristics as Jesus Christ. It was not the fullness in Brother Branham, not in one person. It was close. But he was still born in sin and shaped like in iniquity, just like you and I. But there was a great sheep wave. The sheep wave, it waved. It was the Holy Spirit living through him, showing what the rest of the maturity, the rest of the characteristics that the bride will come to. And we looked at that and we said, wow. And some people stop there and say, that's enough for me. But that's not what he came for us to recognize him, brother and sister. The sheaf wave is waved to show that that's what the rest of the field is going to come to. And then when you see that same character in people, recognize who it is. Don't, you know, sometimes we're so, maybe we want to be humble. I don't know if that's the word. It's hard to believe. It's hard to just stand up and say it. You know what? This is Christ in me. You know, we try to downplay a little bit because we don't look like a fool. Or what if, you know, tomorrow we go and make some mistake and say, oh, I thought you said that was Christ yesterday. Now today you're doing this. Yep. That's the way human beings are. Christ can speak to me through me tonight. Tomorrow I can go and do some horrible sin. Go sass off somebody or do whatever. Say, man, Brother Phil, you're a preacher. Don't look like it now. You're right. That was still Christ in me speaking last night. It's still going to be Christ in me living to me in tomorrow. But our pride gets in the way. I don't want to say too much to Brother Gene. You know, I really appreciate his attitude. Something I saw, but I don't want to say. I don't want him to get a big head. Oh, my goodness. If you see Christ, why don't you just have the courage to stand up and say, I recognize Christ. We get so religious. Tell people they need the encouragement. Tell people when you see something that you admire, something that you know, Brother Paul, you said something the other day. I know it was God speaking to me. He said, well, I don't remember what it was. Don't matter. It's okay, brother and sister. It's okay to acknowledge that you see Jesus Christ alive and well today in human flesh. If I say that, they might... What are you going to, what? You're giving them a pat on the back? You're making them feel good instead of always kind of beating them down under your thumb. That's what we like to do too much, is we need to control people by not letting them get too feeling too good about things, because I can't control them. You know, that's one of the main problems they had and why they killed Jesus. They couldn't control him. They couldn't control him. They could threaten him. They tried to kill him. They did all kinds of stuff. And he went about just doing the will of the Father no matter what. They tried the same with Brother Branham. Brother Branham, if you will join up with us, we're going to take your ministry around the world. You're going to be the most amazing ministry. Think of all the good things that could have happened. Think of all the people that would have been healed. He sat there, he listened to it. This is actually happened, right? They're saying, you know, just come with us and join up with us, and we're going to take your message around the world. He said, okay, brothers, what do I need? What do you need from me? Oh, nothing big deal. Just, you know, just change a few things you preach. Just change a few of the things you preach, and we will cooperate with you. This is a man who developed a complex because of being rejected. You think that didn't tempt him? Instead of having to keep bumping heads against all these ministers, he would have had cooperation. Millions of people would have been healed. Great ministry, great churches would have sprung up around the world. Message churches, much more than now. You know what would have cost us? Eternal life. Because we'd have, this bride, this end time bride, would have never had the truth. God didn't choose a prophet to put the spirit of Elijah in him who's going to go and compromise on something like that. God knows what he's doing. And he didn't choose a bride who's going to go compromise on the word. He didn't choose a ministry who's going to go compromise on the word. Not in this age. We're past that, brother and sister. That's why God is letting these things out now, because it's too late for Satan to do great damage. We will not be deceived. We've gone through the times. We've been tested. We've been tried, brother and sister. Don't get me wrong. We're not done with testing and trying. But brother and sister, we have passed some of those tests, and God's saying, I trust you now. I trust you. You have proven yourself to be that second Eve that will not spoil her skirts, will not play the whore like the first Eve did. That's exciting to me. I'm going to read something just from John 8th chapter. If you want to turn, you can. You don't have to. John 8, 34. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So he's saying, now, the servant doesn't abide unless the Son makes you free. The Son abides forever. And so you need to come to the Son. He's the one. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Now, these are the people who just a little bit ago said they believed on him. He said, you're seeking to kill me because my word has no place in you. He knew whose was his, and only the elect were going to see it. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which ye have seen with your Father. It's just amazing what everyone just thinks. Jesus was a sweet, gentle person who just walked around holding children and little lambs in his arms. Which ye have seen with your Father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. They knew Abraham's works. They knew what it said. He believed God and was counted as righteousness. Early up here, he said, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And sin is unbelief. And so he said, you are not Abraham's seed, because Abraham's seed believes. And if you don't believe, you're a sinner. There is an attribute of Christ playing out through Abraham. He believed the word. Jesus believed the word. He said, you're not manifesting the attributes of Abraham, which was to believe the word, which was the attributes of Christ. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Abraham didn't go around trying to kill the person telling him the truth. Abraham accepted the truth and believed the truth, and God said that's righteousness. That was the characteristics of Christ in Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. He said, I am the one that came from God. Look at the attributes. Look what manifests through you, through me. Excuse me. All right. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. They're sitting there, what do you mean? We understand your speech, we hear your word. What are you talking about? They couldn't understand his speech. They couldn't understand what he's saying. You're of your father, you know, your father is not Abraham and all that. It didn't make sense. Why? Because they did not have ears to hear the word. It could not be revealed to him because they did not have ears to hear it. Why? Because they purposely, intentionally closed off their own ears. It was still their choice. They did not want this to be the Messiah. Brother, sister, that's why message believers today reject Christ and go chasing some man-made religion, because they do not want this to be the Messiah. They do not want this kind of a God. They do not want to have to sit and listen to some preacher who is not the prophet of the age. They don't want to listen to come humble to that ministry. Because it's so much easier to come humble to the ministry of Brother Branham. He's the great prophet. But pride gets in the way and say, why do we have to sit there and listen to Brother Phil every Thursday? That's just what God is called to do. It's true. It takes humility. I feel bad for y'all. I would not want to sit there and listen to myself preaching. I like hearing Brother Jerry preach. It does me good. Sorry. You got to humble your pride. Well, it's just the truth. Then he lays it on. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. So he's saying now, saying from the beginning he was a liar and a murderer, he did not love the truth, and I'm telling you the truth, but you don't accept it. It proves who your father is. But if you will accept the truth, no matter what vessel it comes to you, that also proves who your father is. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, all he's trying to do is help you to understand, to reveal who you are, because we need a greater revelation of who we are. We are the children of God, flat out. We are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And every son and daughter of God is going to be saved and go into rapture, brother and sister. We are those people, the elect, I should say. We are those people, brother and sister. He's called you to the rapture. Now, there are sons and daughters of God who are the same cloth. You know how Brother Branham said, they're foolish virgins, whatever. But I'm not speaking to you tonight. You're the people who are believing the word for the day. There's people out there who are rejecting or who are hearing the wrong thing for whatever reason. They're going to be the foolish virgin. That ain't us. I think Brother Jerry said last time I was here, he said, you're not going to be foolish virgin coming out of this church. You're either going to be bright or you're not going to make it, because you have no excuse. Your ears, you have not been taught some false doctrine by some false preacher or something. You're going to stand there on Judgment Day and say, yeah, I just flat out rejected the word. Isn't that amazing? I love it when you can look in the word and see yourself standing there.
Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He said, search the scripture. They speak about me. He said, who can tell me? I said, tell me where I've not fulfilled the scripture. Tell me where I've been wrong. Tell me where I said something that didn't happen. Show me where I sinned. Show me where anything was not according to the word. Show me where I'm not fulfilling everything the prophet said about me. And if you can't, why don't you believe what I'm saying? Today it's like this. Well, I can't find anything wrong with what you're preaching, but I just don't like the way you run the church. Same thing! Well, I can't find anything wrong with Brother Jerry's preaching, but, you know, he should have sure dealt with David different than he did. I think David's doing pretty well. Maybe he did know what he was talking about. Maybe he was led by the Holy Spirit. Where are they then? Where are the ones that should be repenting and saying, I was wrong? It's been proven. The word has proven itself to be true. Will they come back? Will they come back and say, Brother Jerry, I was so wrong. God have mercy. If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God. Remember, he had just demonstrated down through time. They're the Israel that he came to. They're the Israel, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're the seen God manifest down through time, through Samson, through Jonah, through Elisha, through all these. And here he came, and I said, I finally hear. The one that they've been talking about, the one they've been displaying, the one that's shown this attribute and that attribute, so you can look at it and see it all together, and it's coming to one person. And it's according to the Bible. We are in the exact same thing today, brother and sister. We had the message that said it's going to come this way, and here it's happening right among us, and we see the same God working among us, and people say, I don't think so. I don't see it that way. Well, brother so-and-so says it's different. What does God say about it? You show me where we're supposed to get up the same time Brother Branham did. In the word. Is there anything wrong with it? No, it's not a sin. Unless that is somehow makes you more godlike, than because then you are adding your own righteousness to the word. If that's what makes you righteous, God have mercy. You're missing it. Christ alone makes you righteous. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? The church in Dixon has a strange spirit around them. What is that saying? You have a devil. Isn't that the same thing? What's the difference? If it's not the Holy Spirit, then you got a wrong spirit. You have a devil. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Ain't that amazing? Here these people say, well, you have a Samaritan, you have a devil, you're a Samaritan, and you're off the word, and you're a false prophet, whatever. And instead of backing down and saying, how, brothers, can't we just get along? He said, well, listen, if you keep my sayings, you're never going to die. Well, who do you think you are? Why would you go and make it worse? You're just like rubbing salt in the wound, Jesus. You already got them all upset and tore up, and their hide is burning, and then you go and pour salt in the wound. Knowing it's going to make it worse. Knowing they're going to reject it. He needs to learn political correctness. That's all I got to say. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets... And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?
Can I just put that into our terminology today? We have the prophet, and you think you have to go preach? Who do you think you are? If we just listen to the tapes, why should we have to listen to you? We got the prophets. Who do you make yourself? Are you a greater minister than the prophet? Do you have something to say the prophet didn't say? Then why do you have to be preaching? Same spirit. Who do you make yourself? Search the scripture. Search the message. It tells what's going on here.
Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God." Let me tell you something. If it's just me preaching, if it's just Brother Jerry preaching, who cares? If we're just honoring ourselves, we're just trying to have a ministry, we're just trying to build up a church, we're just trying to do whatever. But if it's God that honors the word that's being preached, then it needs to be taken seriously. "Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you." I tell you what. "But I know him and keep his saying." So if I say, well, I don't want to, as long as we listen to the tapes and I don't need this gift that God's given me, I don't really need to preach it. And the gift you have, you don't really need to, manifest it. You don't need to use it, whatever, because we have the tapes. And if we just get together once in a while and if we listen to the same tapes, if we have quiet time at the same time, if we manifest these gifts or not, it's not that big of a deal. You all have gifts. But just follow these rules. Follow this form. You're going to be fine. "And I'd be a liar like unto you." He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And he just nailed it right there. "I am that I am." And they took up stones to stone him. And he went out of the temple, going through their midst, and so passed by. They couldn't even see him in the flesh after that. Not only had they rejected him, couldn't see him in the spirit, who he was, but he had made himself invisible. They couldn't even see him in the flesh. He just disappeared from them, walked right through them, blinded their eyes. He gave them every opportunity. He gave them every chance. He said, "Here I am, the one who has been prophesied. I've been showing down through time. I'm standing before you. And you reject it because you don't want that Messiah." And brother and sister, the people around this message today, they had every word. They had the prophet. They've had the message. They have everything of thousands of years to discern exactly who Christ is. And when he stands before them, they said, "That's not the kind of bride I want to be. That's not the kind of bride I want to be." Stone you when you stand there and say who you are. Not right now, not with literal stones, but they will take their words and destroy you because you will not back down. You will stand there and say, "I know who I am. God called me to this. This is who he has called me to be. And if I was to say something else, I'd be a liar like unto you." Now, we wouldn't say that. They're our brothers and sisters. Jesus said it. Now, I don't believe in going up to someone like some people around the message and just being rude and nasty to them and tell them you're going to hell because you cut your hair, whatever. That's so much foolishness. But when the word comes, you need to say what he puts on your heart to say. I was up there in Indiana preaching, and some of my family's there, and some of them go to that church I was preaching at, and some of my family go to the church that I was just talking about. And afterwards, my sister, after Sunday, my sister came to me, and she said, "You think you're going to be welcome at our next family reunion?" I said, "If you don't give them the tape, I will." But during that last sermon there, service, it
the Holy Spirit just came in really strong, and I said some things that afterwards I say, I would never say that. I would never have said those things. But under the anointing, it came out. And I don't apologize for what the Holy Spirit says, even though they might hate me for it. It was the Holy Spirit. That's the way he is. You think Jesus went around, I can't wait to dig this into you. I'm going to call you the father of the devil, and I'm going to just like, ha, got you, burn. That wasn't his attitude. He wants to do that. He doesn't want to hurt people's feelings. He doesn't want to make people feel bad. He doesn't want to say you're a liar. He don't want to say you're a murderer, but he's going to tell them the truth. Why? To give them every opportunity. Every opportunity. And if my family needs to hear that tape, to give them an opportunity, if someone comes out of that because they see truth, then who am I? If they hate me, that has nothing to do with anything. Being rejected for Christ is just part of being Christ-like. Amen? Brother and sister, we are blessed. We are blessed. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming and speaking the word, Lord. Thank you, Father, for taking this, what I didn't know what to say, Lord. Just not very long ago today, I was thinking that you gave me some scripture and some quotes, but I didn't know how it was going to be put together. I didn't know how to go with it, and yet you come. You're always so faithful. Always so faithful. You spoke what was on your heart. Help us then, Lord, to understand and to receive. Help us, Lord. We believe that, Father, we have those ears to hear. We have eyes to see. We can recognize you, Lord. Because we've seen you down through time. We've seen you in the Word. We've seen you in the human beings. We've seen you manifest. And today, Lord, we're encouraged because we know that you will continue, Lord, to lead us on. Walking in the light. The manifestation of the word is the light. We thank you for this, Lord. Bless each one now as we go home. Keep us safe. Just touch us physically, Lord. Those who need it, Lord. Emotionally, mentally, whatever it is, the battles we're facing, Lord. And Lord, increase our faith. Let this word, Lord, let it flow through us, Lord. Increase our faith, Lord, to press on, Lord. Satan comes against us. It's so discouraging at times, Lord. But let faith, Lord, take over. Let love bring faith to the battlefield and press on, Lord, as soldiers. Lord Jesus, we just love you. We thank you so much for your goodness to us. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. Soon and very soon, we're going to see you. God bless you. We'll see you.